Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We're going to move on to a story that's making a lot of headlines in the world of our personal assessments of how our relationships work, talking about Elizabeth Edwards, wife of former presidential candidate John Edwards. She's doing the media rounds to publicize her book, Resilience, which is about her husband's cheating, her relationship with him, her family. She got a huge boost from going on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and now she has gone yesterday with a live interview on the Today Show.
You know, I promised I was with him for better or for worse. This was a lot worse than I had ever expected. But I thought, you know, that meant something when I said it. It still meant something. You know, it sounds odd, but except for this very big thing that he had done that was bad, thought I was married, believed, and believe now that I was married to a magnificent man.
Now that whole kerfuffle has New York Times columnist Randy Cohen thinking, is she wrong to put out her family, you know, put them in the spotlight just to promote her latest book? He is the ethicist and columnist for the New York Times Magazine and writes a new blog for the Times called Moral of the Story. So, Randy, when is it okay for a writer to just say, oh, well, I'm just going to put our business out there, or, as we say, dirty laundry?
Right. Well, the best guideline if you want to write about your own life and you're concerned about hurting other people and balancing those two things is to write a work of immortal genius. If you're Boswell and you write The Life of Johnson, if you're even for fiction, if you're Jane Austen and you want to write Pride and Prejudice, even though members of your family discourage it, you should do it. I mean, I wouldn't give up 1 minute of the joy or the insights either author has given us.
Well, wait a minute, Randy. Did Johnson cheat on Boswell?
Johnson cheated on Boswell 100 different ways. Oh. If we mean by cheating, did things that would upset Boswell, he did it routinely. But it wasn't Johnson that objected to the biography. It was Boswell and Johnson's friend, their mutual friends, family members, who objected.
Now, you say it might have been better had she delayed publication until her kids were older and sturdier. Is the worst transgression, in your opinion, having to do with the kids?
The worst transgression, in my opinion, is a kind of hypocrisy that we, I think, can fairly judge Elizabeth Edwards by her own standards. And she said at the end of 2006, when she discovered the affair, that she was going to keep silent about it. Remember, during the campaign, she did at first because she was afraid of the effect on her children. Well, it will have no less effect now. I've noticed when you go on Oprah, one way or another, this permeates the consciousness of your children. It's a law of physics, I think. There's some kind of Oprah physics scientists delve into. So if it was wrong at the end of 2006, why isn't it wrong now, and why isn't she a hypocrite?
Well, because she wanted to have her own version on the record for her kids and not have it be told by people on, you know, Entertainment Tonight, for heaven's sakes. I mean, doesn't a mom get a chance to do that?
She certainly does, but I don't think this was a routine part of the public conversation until she made it so. But it's by publishing her book and by going on Oprah that it became a topic for Entertainment
Tonight. But Randy, she might not survive long enough to have a sit-down conversation with her kids as teenagers. This is what happened to your father. I mean, she's dying of cancer, for heaven's sakes.
Right, and it's a serious thing. One thing people do in such situations, when they're concerned that writing might injure those around them, is they simply defer publication. Often historians or biographers are compelled to do that because the only way they can get access to certain papers sometimes is if they say, well, you can't publish till after this person and this person has actually died because it could deeply wound them. That's one option she had. I don't think any child psychologist says the only way you can tell your kids what's been going on is by appearing on Oprah.
Well, you know, she says that she did it for the kids, you know, getting to your point about this whole situation. And, you know, let's take a listen.
I mean, I am doing it for my children as well, but I wouldn't do it just for my children. I do think it's important for them to have the image that I have of him without this piece, because I think it's important that we admire our parents.
I'm not exactly sure where she's going with that one, but it sounds like she's saying that she needs to do a rigorous accounting of the relationship and it's better for the kids. What do you make of that?
Well, I make of it what you make of it, that it seemed quite confusing, that if 2 years ago the reason to keep silent was for the kids. How is it that 2 years later, the reason for going public is for the kids? There's a curious contradiction here, and it's the Ben Franklin quote again, isn't it? I think we've entered Franklin territory. It's how wonderful a thing it is to be reasonable creatures, because we can always find or make a reason for anything we want to do.
Well, wait a second. I mean, are you saying that she's just misguided and had the wrong impulse altogether, or is she couching her revenge against her deadbeat husband in this sort of, I'm going to do it for the kids?
Wow, that deeper motive. I haven't seen her in a clinical setting, John. So there's a
limit. Come on, you're always backing away from the hard questions. You want me to act like a woman again, like we do in every other second?
I can't judge her motives. It's very difficult to judge her motives, but we can judge her conduct. And by her own standards, she seems to have acted quite badly. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, we have to wrap up here and go to Femi, because we always like the headlines. But just really quickly,
I love the headlines.
George Stephanopoulos broke this story that argued that basically Edward Staff was going to stab him in the back if he had a realistic chance in 2008. Just quickly, is that ethical?
For the staff to once the phrase "stab in the back" is used, what can I say? It, of course, it's unethical. But I think many people were deeply wounded. People on the staff were wounded that Edwards had this ticking time bomb in his life and lied to them. And they said, "Is there any reason we shouldn't work so hard on your campaign?" And he said, "No, everything's great." So I can certainly understand their anger. And if we mean going public and releasing pertinent information, I'm not sure I would characterize that as stabbing someone in the back.
Okay. Well, Randy, thanks so much. Randy Cohen, columnist for the New York Times, and he's got this new blog, Moral of the Story. It's at nytimes.com/ethicist.